Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our sometimes look into Sounders FC when we can be bothered, nerdy soccer culture, and cutting Eastern Washington commentary in an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league, not funded by foreign royalty, picking my nose, MLS. This is going terribly.
Picking your nose is not funded by foreign royalty?
Yeah. No, I have not gotten any royalty.
Not digging for foreign gold? If you find oil up there, I think we have a problem.
Gonna knock on the door from the U.S. military?
Sir, you need to come with us.
Hold on, I am white! Like, fair.
Right, yeah, you're right. So we'll actually pay you for this.
You get 10%.
Yeah.
Wow!
We'll just send in our scientists, not the men with guns.
Also, jail.
Straight to jail.
So we're your host from 107.7 The End, probably for not much longer. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at, well, CenturyLink Field, never Lumen Field. He's Spokane Brandon.
Yep. Hi.
Hi. Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. We might even check it someday and give us a rating.
Damn it. Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Emmanuel Cecchini to Aaron Kovar.
I remember one of those people, but I am studying Italian right now, so I might say Cecchini.
He was from Argentina.
But you know what happened at the end of World War II is right. All those Nazis went to Argentina.
So Emmanuel Cecchini is a Nazi. You heard it here first, folks.
I did not. Brandon said that. Spokane Brandon. It's really starting to rub off on him.
Hey, we actually do have a rating.
Hey!
Yeah!
1 star. It's Jan. Ah, damn it.
It is from, it's actually a 5-star rating, so thank
Woo!
You. And their name is, I'm a hero to these kids, Taylor. And their rating is titled Dempsey. And then this is what they say in their review. Dempsey, 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 Dempsey. Which, to be fair, okay, I know you didn't watch the U.S. versus Mexico game. I don't know if you watched the game before that, but Clint Dempsey, icon. Absolutely.
He's a thing.
Icon.
Yeah, he's a thing. He's from becoming a legend of scoring on a soccer pitch to being just a meme of a former legend scoring on a soccer pitch.
A guy that would not talk to the media in his entire professional career all of a sudden is the media, and he's the best media.
It's really cool. So, he's wearing that Men in Blazers camouflage blazer.
We were there. Remember? We were at that together. I was telling Catherine about that.
I'm so glad that... Oh, that's great. Because I couldn't remember who I was with except for Taylor Graham from the Sounders. I ran into him, and I've known Taylor for a long time, and he was kind enough to buy me out of his own pocket. He bought me a beer. That was very nice. And then Alan Hinton came on stage, and then
he
I said...
He bought us a beer.
He bought you one, too. Okay, this is my point, is that I don't remember. We shared the beer. It was really cute. 2 straws, 1 beer.
that's from a deep, dark part of the internet.
Two urethras, 1 beer. That got weird.
That's my porn name, is Urethra Franklin.
I bet you someone beat you to that.
And I'm sure.
Poor choice of words. Anyway.
We're talking, obviously, about the Men in Blazers live taping that they did in Seattle, where they awarded... What they do is they award a golden blazer the same way that we award either a golden clog or a golden Bogan Hogan.
Yeah.
Golden Bogan Hogan. I love saying it. So they... also, if you're the first person... If you buy a customized jersey and you put golden Bogan Hogan on the back... you will forever be, you can be a guest on this podcast.
Sure, yeah. There you go, yeah.
That's high honors.
Except for your brother. He's already capped out at Brad Bradsmith.
Yeah, he got the Brad Bradsmith jersey, and he'll never be a guest on this podcast. You heard it here.
Now, you might volunteer him to be in goal for the Sounders, but right. as his brother, you have that right. But
anyway, so they usually, the Men in Blazers award a golden blazer. Well, at this podcast taping that you and me and Brian went to.
Brian was there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. We saw Men in Blazers award a camo blazer to Clint Dempsey. And he wore that during the broadcast at the U.S., except he ripped the patch off.
And I wonder, like, I haven't followed up on it at all, so it's just speculating when there's probably an answer, which is what the internet is for. But I wonder if he tore it off because the producer was like, you can't wear that logo on here. That's an NBC
brand. It's an NBC show. You're on CBS. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. And he was like, whatever, and just tore it off and was like, I'm Clint Dempsey. Let me put sunglasses on for a broadcast, which you're not supposed to do. Like, that's fine because there's no branding involved, but... Yeah, that was cool to see that, and he's become quite the meme lord himself, making, I guess all in all, just ridiculous.
I feel like he already was, though, like ripping up a referee notebook, making that face that you just made.
Yeah.
Like, doing all of the things that Clint Dempsey does. Like, it already was a meme, and now he's just doubling down on it. I wonder how much he, like... knows, or if he's like me and recently, like since retirement, went on some mental health drugs and all of a sudden he's just feeling like he's in a better place. And like part of me was thinking while I was watching it, I was like, Clint just seems like a happy dude. Did that guy hate soccer, just happened to be like unfortunately good at it and was like, well, I guess I'm gonna go make millions of dollars and support my family and then someday quit and then be happy again?
Well, the rap career and the fishing career didn't take off, so yeah. like hates running. He's like, well, I do the thing where I run all the time, just hating that.
Yeah.
He's got like a dozen kids or something like that, right?
He's got four kids. He's probably like the rest of us where, you know, you like hate your day job and you find some hobby in the outside of work and that keeps you going. He hated his day job, which was being a professional soccer player.
Yeah, sure. I question if he ever liked it in Seattle. Like, it never really felt like he was like, he was just here doing a job. Like, it wasn't like a thing that, where he was like pumped to be part of this. Like, I wonder with a lot of athletes whether they're actually committed to the cities that they move to, if they like it at all. If it's not like, you know, if you're 22 and you start playing professional football and you have to live in Cleveland, I don't know anything about Cleveland, but that's. There's got to be. It must be cooler to be on the New York Giants and be at strip clubs with guns and stuff like that. That must be way cooler.
Or imagine being the guy that's like, international, you know, maybe from South America or something like that. I'm going to get to go play for the New York Red Bulls, but you live in New Jersey. Or I'm going to go live in Salt Lake City and you have to go live in like Rio Tinto.
Yeah, I mean, you think you're going to go to America and have like a huge shot and you're good enough to prove something and you have to live in Columbus, Ohio. Like, that's not being at the top. If you're Hand Wallapwana, that's awesome.
You mean global brand Columbus, Ohio?
Thank you.
Or, I mean, I guarantee that there are people who are like, what's a Seattle? You know, like if you're from South America and you're like, I'm going to go to Seattle, what's that?
But at least there's a couple things with Seattle in the name, and the languages are close enough. I was in Japan, and I was watching a Formula One practice, and a German driver went by, and because Japan is hella racist, I like cheered for him, and the guy was like, oh, are you German? And I was like, what, because I'm white? And none of that happened. I said, no, America. And he was like, what? And I was like, our languages are not compatible at all.
Yeah,
I was Seattle, and he was like, I was like, San Francisco? And he goes, oh! And I was like, you don't actually know. And he's like, no.
New York.
Okay. So anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to say that you like us and leaving a 5-star review and actually doing the thing that we've asked for forever, which is saying who your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I wonder if it was a job or not. Full 90 pot.
That's what's interesting to me, though. Sorry, I mean, not to belabor the point, but to, like, Clint Dempsey is the Sounders' all-time leading goal scorer. So I get that, of course, I mean, he made a huge impact here. He's helped the Sounders do some incredible things. At the same time, I don't know, like, as much as I loved to watch him play, and I miss watching him play, honestly, because he was so fun, I don't know if I could ever call him my, like, favorite Sounders player, because I don't feel like he ever, like, played for the badge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he played a game, and he played it well, and he helped the Sounders, and he was amazing. But, yeah. Like, I love the guys like Roger Levesque, who was definitely not nearly as good, but you could tell that he put everything in for the club and, like, loved the club. Zach Scott, same thing, right? Like, from Hawaii, not from here, but still comes and, like, makes Seattle his home and owns it.
It might be token when people do it, and they run over to the sidelines, and they score, and they point to the crest, and it's like... I could see Deuce doing that, just like, but again, I just don't know if I ever believe it. But also, we're just wildly speculating. He might love it here, and we have no idea. I just never bought that from the performances. But he's also an old crotchety man as far as sports go by the time he got here. So, like,
well, you look at a guy like Stephen Fry, who not only is not, like, first of all, he, like, grew up in California. He's from
what?
Yeah, he grew up, like, he went to, like, high school in California and stuff. He's only, like, born and raised in Austria or whatever.
First of all, it's Switzerland, right?
Switzerland, yeah. Switzerland, Austria, yeah, whatever. Wherever he's from.
Different things, but yes.
Yeah, I know. But he comes to the U.S. He like, grows up in, I'm pretty sure, California, goes to school there, and then moves to Seattle. But not only does he then, like, move to Seattle, he realizes how much he loves, like, living out and, like, being one of the weird art see people on the islands. Like, he lives out on, like, Orcas or Whidbey or something like that.
Yeah. Gosh.
You know you've drank the Kool-Aid of the Pacific Northwest is once you, like...
Yeah, you commit to an area because it fits you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of, like, some of those players that, like, who, like, you, if you're from here, that's one thing. Jordan Morris, Mercer Island's own Jordan Morris.
I mean, Christian Roldan, Alex Roldan, those guys, like, both from Southern California, grew up LA Galaxy fans. Their brother works for the Galaxy.
Ugh.
And then they moved to Seattle. Both of them moved to Seattle to play college soccer and then, like, want to stay here to play with the Sounders. And it's the same. I feel like those guys are honorary, at this point, Seattleites, like, I locals, like, you know?
Nico Ladero is a guy, like, Freddie Montero is your perfect example of a guy who became the club star and then keeps within orbit.
You want to talk about drinking the Kool-Aid, married somebody from Bellevue and opened a coffee shop. Like, how much more Seattle can you get?
You go to his house right now and he's watching Frasier on Netflix.
Smoking weed.
I also understand. That'd be hella tight.
Yeah.
I also understand that Frasier is not, you know, whatever. Jokes.
Whatever.
Jokes.
Base here.
All right. Well, 12 minutes in, this is where we're at, full90podcast.com. Go check it out. We have all our links there, maybe. I haven't really looked recently. And
we still haven't put our OnlyFans up, so.
Yeah. Okay, so it's the international break right now, and we saw a crazy USA versus Mexico match. We'll get to that here in a second. The thing that I saw that really has me concerned about the rest of the Seattle Sounders season is our second highest scorer having to come home from international duty with an injury.
Kangaroo glaucoma.
You're going to have to get some of that wallaby weed to fix that.
Does that mean he has to go back in his mom's couch?
Yes. That is what it means.
Brad Smith apparently has to... He was in Kuwait, of all places, to play in a World Cup qualifier for Australia and had to return, or I think he's returning, to Seattle because of an injury. Apparently, what I was reading, it's not super serious, but it was obviously serious enough to keep him out of the lineup for... The what do they call themselves? The Matildas, I think. Maybe that's the women's the women's kangaroo team, the women's Australian women's team, the men's team. I don't know what they call them. The Ruse, the Fightin' Ruse,
Joeys,
the Joeys. Yeah, they. So Brad Smith is returning due to an injury. Who knows what the Sounders don't play again until like the night. Oh, I guess that's in. Just 9 days from the time of recording. So they play again the 19th. We'll see what's wrong with him and who knows. So Brad Smith, the second leading goal scorer, like you said, on the team, potential to miss a game. But
I mean, You mean the Socceroos?
The Socceroos. Thank you. Thank you. They, thankfully, the Sounders have, you know, Jimmy Madronda back there who can step in for that position. You know, Nuhu can always slide over and play that position.
Is it time for Nuhu to finally net some goals? Like, is the five at the back going to allow Nuhu to finally put his boot through one?
This is, you know, this is really funny. Talking about Nuhu goals. So in the USL, right, it's technically a professional league, correct?
Yeah.
And there have been some... so when a player scores a goal in the USL, people will talk about it as the first professional goal in this person's career. I went back and looked. Nuhu has scored a goal for S2, playing for S2. So
today I learned that Nuhu played for S2.
Yeah, that's what got him. I went back and looked up. I was like, how did Nuhu get on the Sounders radar? Like, he was playing for some random team and then all of a sudden got signed by the Sounders S2 and then now plays on the professional team. Has not scored a Sounders goal, has not scored a goal for the first team, but he has scored a professional goal. So, does that take the wind out of the celebration that we might see if he finally scores one, or do we have like new blue balls? New blue balls? Oh, I feel like you have to bleep all of that out probably, but
new blue, is that what it is?
New blue, yeah. We have new blue balls. New blue balls. Do we have to bleep that out?
No.
Okay, fine. Good. Anyway, so he scored a goal.
I wouldn't count it because you're not up against the toughest competition. Yeah. And by toughest, that's, I mean, a big stretch. Don't get me wrong, because you're playing teams like Cincinnati. But the idea being that you haven't, the top level in the States at least is MLS, and you haven't proven yourself there. So when he gets that goal, it'll still be, if he gets that goal, let's say, it'll still be monumentous. Can't say that.
I know, but somehow we can talk about New Blue. Other international news, though, the Sounders playing internationally, not a lot to report on. Raul Ruiz Diaz was in the lineup, but did not play in Peru's first game against whoever Arriaga plays for, Ecuador. And they won that match 2-1. Raul did not play. And then he is not in the roster for the second match. So because they have this like new, much better player on their team. Raul Ruiz Diaz is great, but I guess he just does not show up for his national team very well. Arriaga, in that 2-1 loss that Ecuador played against Peru, went the full 90, so good to see our defenders losing some games. And Nuhu went the full 90 with Cameroon. I think might have been one of his first professional cap. I think it might have been his first professional cap against Nigeria. So 0-0 draw against Nigeria. So that's how the I guess our team is doing internationally. Not a whole lot going on.
It's pretty cool that there's, even though people are getting overlooked and stuff, like Christian Roldan probably arguably should be in that U.S. men's national team squad a little bit. He should have a little bigger look at that. I mean, that squad is awesome, don't get me wrong, and maybe there's not room, and maybe he's not of that caliber, which is hard to fathom because he's been such a workhorse for the Sounders. But at the same time, maybe 10 days off after playing so many matches in such a short time, maybe that's not, I know they're not off, but maybe that's not the worst thing, that they would get some fresh legs. And there's a lot of other teams in that position to come back. It would be a shame to, like, you can rest Arriaga after playing a bunch, and if you need to, and you have someone else, Shane O'Neill, to take over. It's just, I feel like it, having not a big representation internationally is okay.
Well, and we talk about the fact that there's going to be, you know, the Gold Cup and the Copa America and World Cup qualifiers all this summer, right? Some of these players, like if Raul is not seeing a lot of minutes for Peru, who knows if he makes that roster, if they're not even playing him in these early matches. Mm-hmm. Brad Smith, you know, like he's kind of one of those cusp players for Australia. Who knows if he gets taken for some of those matches? You know, Nuhu, I can see definitely getting
let's
called up given his form.
Let's call them the Pouchies.
The Pouchies.
Instead of the Socceroos. We're going to call them the Pouchies.
The pouchy ouchie. That's what Brad Smith has.
Podcast over.
The pouchy ouchie.
And then they're good. And then when they're communicating about coronavirus in Australia, they can hear from Dr. Pouchy.
Dr. Fauci's pouchy ouchie.
The pouchies. Okay, cool. Move over, Socceroos. Yeah. You have listed here the Liga MX versus MLS All-Stars. Tell me about this, and then let's talk about how it could be problematic based on the results from the USA versus Mexico men's national team game.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so MLS in past years, right, has done All-Star matches or All-Star games. Mm-hmm. Most other leagues' All-Star games are the best players from one conference versus the best players from another conference, right? In Major League Baseball, it's the best players from the National League versus the best players from the American League. I think everybody sure. knows that. In MLS, rather than doing the best players from the Eastern Conference versus the best players from the Western Conference, in the past years, it's always been the best players from all of the league versus Bayern Munich or Real Madrid or Chelsea or whatever, like some other big European team who is not playing their regular season, so they're able to go play an exhibition match in the U.S. against...
yeah, it's like their warm-up.
Yeah, it's like during their preseason, right? This year, the league has announced recently, I think just yesterday, that this year's All-Star match is going to be the MLS All-Stars, so all of the best players in Major League Soccer, versus the best players of Liga MX, which is the Mexican professional league. So you have all of the best players from the Mexican league versus all the best players from the United States league playing against each other in an All-Star match, which I think could be super fun.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Now, that said, you know, obviously not all of the best players from MLS are American, and not all of the best players from Mexico are Mexican. In fact, a lot of the best players in MLS are Mexican. But if you look at the way that the most recent match from between these two countries went, if you didn't watch the USA versus Mexico match, I would go back and see if you can find a recording of it. Make sure you allot yourself like 4 freaking hours because they ended up playing something like 420 minutes or 69 in Canada. And it was the wildest. We've seen some crazy matches. We saw Clint Dempsey tear up a referee's notebook.
Yeah.
We've seen the Sounders come back from 3-down to win 4-3. We've seen Nuhu kick beer cans out of midair against LAFC after beating them in the playoffs. This match trumped all of that. You had Mexico scoring in the second minute of the match, going up 1-0. You had the United States coming back and scoring. You had Mexico scoring again. The United States coming back in like the 87th minute or something and tying it up. The game goes into extra time, okay? A penalty, a very questionable penalty, gets awarded to the United States. First of all, the VAR, right? The monitor that the referee goes and looks at. You didn't watch the match, right, Greg?
No.
Okay, so VAR usually is off on the sideline, away from the benches, away from everything, because you want the referee to be able to go somewhere away from everything, away from all the distractions, be able to watch without people peering over his shoulder. For some reason, because it's CONCACAF, the Cup of CONCACAF, CONCACAF put the VAR monitor between the two benches on the sideline.
Oh, no.
And so this referee, this Panamanian referee, had to go over in between the benches. And every single coach, every single player hovering over his shoulder while he watched this thing. And then he goes and points at the spot after awarding this penalty to the United States, which put the United States up 3-2. He goes to award this penalty like he's a professional wrestling center ref, pointing at the spot like with the most like boom, like that's a penalty. And Christian Pulisic scores the penalty. There are just like he goes and celebrates, shushes the Mexican crowd in Denver, which is embarrassing. Like you have to go shush the crowd in your own country.
Yeah. It's the U.S. men's national team played Mexico in Phoenix once upon a time, and it was literally 80% people cheering for the Mexican national team.
and 20% rooting for the Americans in the U.S., which is, which, like you say, is embarrassing if you're the U.S., that your home team is getting out-cheered so much. But also, you know, the 10th most popular sport in America or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's hostile too, man, when the bottles start flying and it's...
Gio Reyna plays for Borussia Dortmund. He got hit in the head by a full cup of Coke that was probably filled with urine. Looked like he got knocked out, like fell on the ground, was like injured, got hit in the head. Apparently that fan, they identified who it was and they arrested them, and they've obviously been banned for life from at least that stadium. Who knows? And then later on in the match, there was a big dust up between the two teams. They're coming together on the sideline and everybody's gathering around and fighting and whatever. And again, a bunch of stuff is getting thrown at the American players. And then one of the Mexican players gets hit in the head by one of the things that the Mexican fans were throwing. Yeah. But what's funny is I went and read a bunch of the comments, and a lot of the Mexican fans were like, no, we hit him on purpose. If it was that guy that got hit, we definitely hit him on purpose because he's not playing very well.
Which is terrifying in itself. I don't know anything about how sanctions work for this or whatever, but if based on what I saw, if I was FIFA, I would ban the next matches that they play or whatever this segment of qualifying is, no fans in the stands, no tickets available for their own or in their own home matches, like if any of them are played in Mexico, no fans, because that's outrageous.
It was crazy. And well, and here's what I mean, I haven't even mentioned other like this. The reason this match went so long is because there was a good like 5 minutes stoppage in play because there was a homophobic chant being made by the Mexican fans in the stadium.
It happens all the time. This is a thing that is a recurring problem that we see in the U.S. That is brought over from other parts of the Americas.
So they've put in a new policy that says, like, the first time that the referee hears it, he stops the game for 5 minutes. The second time that he hears it, the players and everybody goes back to the locker rooms, and the game is delayed for however much time. The third time, they stop the game and resume it the next day in front of an empty stadium. So there's no way. I mean, it happened multiple times. They only ever went to that first step, that first consequence, right? Stopping the game for like 5 minutes or whatever while they made an announcement over the PA system saying, hey, please don't say those bad things. Then it definitely happened again, and everybody's like, why is the referee, like, the referee just lost control of this match very early. Like, just let red card worthy tackles happen without any cards, right?
Cool.
Tata Martino, the head coach of Mexico, used to be the head coach of Atlanta United, used to be the head coach of some amazing teams in Europe.
Barcelona.
Yeah. Got red carded because the VAR monitor's in between the benches, and he put his arms around the referee, goes around and red cards Tata Martino, who has to leave the field. Greg Berhalter, like, bodied one of the Mexican players who was going to try to get the ball off the sideline. Like, it was a spectacle. It was like, if the WWE became a soccer match, that's
and
what
why
this
hasn't
match was.
It yet? Like, why haven't we done that genre crossing?
Yeah.
So the point of this is that when it's Liga MX versus MLS All Stars, you're gonna have some people or some fans. Probably is the real problem. Players get chippy with each other no matter what, but like, you're gonna have some fans out there that can't let that go, and it could be quite a hot mess.
Yeah, and it's being played, and this is, I mean, just on top of all of this, it's being played at the Bank. The Bank of California Stadium in LA.
The Baño.
The Baño de California. Why I say like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it was a weird, weird little bit of Austrian that slipped in there.
Yeah. Get
to the toilet.
But that is going to be a heavily Mexican crowd.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating to watch that, assuming that events truly do reopen starting in just 5 days' time in California. They're supposed to lift all the restrictions. So at the time of recording. I need you to tell me about something that's happening in Portland. About the Morrison Bridge. That is going to be lit up in honor of Seattle Sounders FC.
Yeah. So I guess this happens every year, but this is the first time I've seen it. So the Morrison Bridge.
Yeah,
is,
this is news to me. I don't know this.
It's a bridge that crosses the river in Portland. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up on the map because I had to be like, where is this? Is it like on the edge of Port? Like, is this just some random bridge somewhere randomly in the city? No, it is across the street from Providence Park where the Timberwolves play. And it is going to be some fans paid, I think it's like $150. So they should really just do this every weekend. Some fans paid.
Did they say pan or fan?
Across the Willamette.
Across the Willamette River. These fans paid to have that bridge lit up in honor of the Seattle Sounders the weekend, August 13th through 15th, the weekend that the Sounders play Portland. Amazing.
As a person who does radio in both cities, this makes me very happy that I could talk about this
it's
on the radio.
So good. It is so good.
You know, it's funny because there's I only ever view Portland from a rivalry standpoint. Like, I love Portland. It's fun to go to and everything.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I only view it as a rivalry thing that, like, boy, we sure hate Portland, even though I don't really think I dislike it at all. And then I do shows in both cities, and Portland relies on Washington for so much in terms of, like, culturally, there's just an imaginary border, but, like, you have Vancouver and Camas and all that stuff that's right there. So, like, a large part of Washington culture seeps into Portland, and it's like, oh, this is all just one area. We're just being dicks about it because we're sports fans taking it too far.
Yeah, I knew people in college who were from Vancouver who were Portland fans because they just live in that in that area. What's interesting, we were just over last weekend, I was in Hood River, which is an hour or so east of Portland.
Yeah.
And we were just down there for our anniversary and my wife's birthday, and which are just a day apart.
Oh,
and
weird.
We were at a little store, and I was wearing a Sounders shirt and kind of forgot where I was. And this guy who was working at the store was like, "Hey, nice shirt." I was like, oh, I like forgot what I was wearing. I was like, oh, thanks. Oh, thanks. Hey, are you a Sounders fan? And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But don't tell anybody.
Secret Sounders fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was awesome. It was nice to meet another Sounders fan down there. He's from Seattle, I guess. And I was like, oh, yeah, I bought this thing in Ballard. Do you know where that is? He was like, dude, I'm from Seattle. I just told you that. I'm from Seattle.
As my friend Brian always tells me, it's beautiful Ballard, please. Thank you.
Beautiful Ballard.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, that is an awesome bit of trolling that the Sounders fans do to Portland. I think the fact that they're both teams are green makes it not quite as fun. But if you're going to light up a bridge, I guess that's amazing.
If you light it up with our version of green and blue, then it should be fun. I can't wait to see that.
So the state is getting ready to reopen. Seattle specifically has surpassed the 70% mark of people fully vaccinated 12 plus, meaning that, you know, kids as young as 12 up to people who have died from coronavirus can get vaccinated up to 70%. And the city, like, is well ahead of the governor's plans to reopen.
Not 12 doses. I'm collecting doses like they're infinity stones.
I got all the different vaccines at least twice. I have been very ill. It has been a tough spring. So, people 12 years old and older are at 70% now for having gotten the vaccine, which means that everything should start to reopen. And by June 30th, at the latest, the governor said that the state's going to reopen. So that means the Sounders are ready to put into place how to get fans back in the stands. And while it might be weird, it's going to happen before we know it.
Yeah, the Sounders just released, I think maybe last week, so, you know, we never record this podcast.
No.
So they released their reopening plans, and it's going to be crazy. So their next home game is in July, and they're going to have three home games in a row.
Cool.
And their plans are, in those three home games, before July 25th, which is, I think, when the state is supposed to fully open, the Sounders are going to have the entire lower bowl open for anybody who's fully vaccinated and can prove it. So I saw a headline recently was like, fully vaccinated people and just liars can go to the movie theaters, right? Well, the Sounders are going to have people have to show their vaccination card.
Yeah,
or
I had to do that to go, yeah.
Yeah, or if there are kids who are younger than 12, they have to be able to show a negative COVID test from within the last 72 hours, according to them, which is crazy, but if you want to go not crazy, bad, but just it's a wild concept, correct? But the so if you want to go to the game, you have to maybe jump through these hoops unless you're all vaccinated, and great. Now, if you're not vaccinated yet, if you're unable to be vaccinated for some reason because of health issues or something like that, you can still go to the match. The upper sections of Lumen Field are going to be physically distanced and available to non-vaccinated fans. If you're a season ticket holder and you have seats in that lower bowl, you will have access to your seat, which is great. You don't have to go buy single season tickets or whatever. Yeah. And if you're not a season ticket member, you can still go buy single season tickets down in that lower bowl as well. So awesome that, I mean, just even having the match against, was it Austin that they played?
Atlanta and Austin are the two home games.
It's just crazy to be able to have fans in the stadium. Like it changes the atmosphere of, it changes the way that you experience the match, right?
Sure.
So I'm excited to see what a full bowl, hopefully a full lower bowl looks like for that match against whoever it is in that first match in July.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good. It'll be more fans in the stands, and we'll be ready to get back at it. I guess that brings us then, Brandon, to the point where this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen. It's too long, didn't listen.
Which it is too long, and it is too long. We spent 12 minutes talking about I don't even remember what, because I don't listen.
I got it for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. Too long, didn't listen.
Digging for foreign gold.
Hey, if you come to Spokane, we've got all the guns. Too long, didn't listen.
We call the Australian team not the Socceroos, but the Pouchies.
Great. Too long, didn't listen.
If, how do I say this without being offensive? I couldn't, so now I'm new blue.
Bye.